Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying the life of David, and this is the introduction to the life of David. On any scale of the importance of Old Testament biblical figures, David makes the first tier cut along with Abraham and Moses. The name David appears to be connected with the Hebrew verbal root davad, to love, so his name probably means beloved. He is an amazing, multifaceted, multi-gifted person. First, he was a musician, the sweet psalmist of Israel. As a youth, he practiced the harp on the sheep fields of Bethlehem. As a young man, he became a court musician for Israel's first king, Saul. But as he grew, he began to write down the inspired songs or psalms that he wrote so that his compositions fill nearly half of the Book of Psalms. But more than just a prolific lyricist and musician, David was a worshiper. His music wasn't just popular love songs, it was worship. It comprised the intense emotions of the struggle and the high freedom of praise and everything in between. Music gave voice to David's faith and his soul-felt prayers. Most musicians I know are gentle, artsy people, but David was the opposite. He was a renowned warrior, the most famous warrior in the history of Israel. His courage to stand up to and defeat Goliath is legendary. Saul made him an officer in his army, where he began to win battles, not by standing back and giving orders, but by leading his men into battle himself, defeating his foes by the strength of his arm, and his faith in God. When Saul became jealous and began pursuing David, he gathered a band of 400 men, then 600, whom he forged into the fearsome army of a fugitive warlord. Because of his own courage and prowess as a warrior, he attracted the best warriors in the land to join him. David was a warrior. But there's more to him. David was a nation builder. Before him, Saul functioned as a local monarch over a loosely organized group of tribes. Through his own diplomatic efforts, David was able to unite these tribes into one nation. He conquered Jerusalem and made it capital of his growing empire. He built a palace, then brought the ark to reside in his new capital. Once he had consolidated power, David began to subdue the neighboring kingdoms that had pressured Israel's borders. He turned them into his vassals, the Philistines, the Edomites, Moabites, and Amorites. When he conquered Hadadezer, king of Zobah, an Aramean overlord of kingdoms all the way east to the Euphrates River, David became king over an empire that extended from the Brook of Egypt in the Negev Desert to the Great River. David was a nation builder. When you realize the extent of David's influence as he served God's purpose in his own generation, it's amazing that some people have asserted that he didn't really exist at all, that he was merely a myth. In the mid-20th century, a group of biblical minimalists began to publicly doubt that David and Solomon and the United Monarchy ever existed. After all, they said, there were no archaeological inscriptions and no references in any ancient literature except the Bible. Minimalist Philip Davies went so far as to remark that he suspects that the figure of King David is about as historical as King Arthur. This rather arrogant view, which is entirely dismissive of the biblical record, rests on two weak assumptions. One, that all the available archaeological evidence has been excavated, though only a small part has been unearthed to date, and two, that official inscriptions on stone were carved in David's time, or even permitted. Fortunately, however, several archaeological inscriptions have surfaced that clearly point to the historicity of David's reign. Number one, an inscription in the old Aramaic stela in Tel Dan, dated about 840 BC, refers to the House of David in the context of a king. Two, an inscription on the stela of Mesha, king of Moab, also refers to the House of David in about the same period. Three, an inscription at Karnak by Pharaoh Shoshenq I records a victory over Rehoboam and Jeroboam in 926 to 925 BC, referring to a place name in the Negev, or South Judean area, as the Heights of David, an inscription carved within 50 years of David's own lifetime. Was David a real person? Yes, indeed. When did David live and reign? The absolute date of David's reign is based primarily on counting backwards from a fixed event, the Battle of Karkar in 853 BC, in which Israel's king Ahab took part, as recorded on the Kirk Stella. Dating is actually pretty complex when you get into it. K.A. Kitchen determines the date for David's 40-year reign from about 1010 to 970 BC. The primary scripture with relative dates of David's life is as follows. This is from 2 Samuel 5:4 through 5. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. While it's difficult to pinpoint relative dates for events in David's life, Appendix 4 gives approximate dates and ages at various points in his life. Our primary source material for the study of David's life is found in 1 and 2 Samuel and the first chapter of 1 Kings, with some supplementary information in 1 Chronicles. 1 and 2 Samuel are actually part of one book in the Hebrew Bible, along with 1 and 2 Kings. It wasn't until the Greek Septuagint translation in the 2nd century BC that these books were divided, perhaps so they would fit on standard-length scrolls. In the Septuagint, these four books are known as Basileion A, B, C, and D, the four books of the kingdoms. Authorship is obscure. Obviously, the editors drew upon a number of contemporary sources, since some are mentioned, such as the Book of Jasher, the books of the Annals of Solomon and the Kings of Israel and Judah, which have not been preserved. Scholars identify several probable source documents that are woven into the narrative, such as the history of David's rise and the succession narrative. The composition of these books was widely debated in the 20th century, but it is also obscure. Currently, their composition is seen as the work of one or more Deuteronomistic editors, perhaps first in the time of Josiah, and then again during the exile. Our text of 1 and 2 Samuel is derived primarily from three sources: the Masoretic Hebrew text, the Greek Septuagint translation, and Samuel manuscripts found among the Dead Sea Scrolls at Qumran. Of these, the Masoretic Hebrew text doesn't seem to have fared as well in transmission as the other two sources, though differences are minor. Before we get into the text itself, we need to examine the Philistines, Israel's neighbors to the west, with whom there is constant conflict during this period. The Philistines apparently emigrated from the Aegean area in the early to mid-12th century BC. They settled primarily along the southwestern coastal strip of Canaan, the name Palestine deriving from the name Philistine. The borders of Philistia are the Mediterranean on the west, the Brook of Egypt on the south, the low foothills of the Shephelah on the east, and the Yarkon River in the north, though at times they gained a foothold farther east into Israelite territory. They seem to have been a loose confederation of five city-states: Ashdod, Ashkelon, Ekron, Gaza, and Gath. For the most part, these city-states waged war singly, but on occasion they gathered together to wage a common battle, such as the Battle of Gilboa against the Israelites, in which Saul and Jonathan were killed. Of these cities, all but Gath have been positively identified in archaeological digs. Gath is probably to be identified with Tel es-Safi. Well, now that we've examined some of the introductory issues, let's turn to the events that ushered David onto the stage of history. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to study David's life, and I pray that you would help us to see things we've never seen before, to learn things from his example, his successes and his mistakes, that will help us grow as disciples. In Jesus' name.